The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What man can do to me? The Lord is on my side. As my helper, I shall look in triumph over those who hate me. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to tag this text today on today we celebrate fathers. I want to just encourage fathers and others who are here today. I want to talk about, brother, you can make it. Brother, you can make it. Or if you're a sister, you can make it. You can make it. I don't know who donned the doors of the sanctuary today, came in feeling a little discouraged and down today, but the Lord sent you to the right church on the right Sunday. The Lord sent me here on divine assignment to encourage you, to remind you that in spite of how bleak it looks, the Lord wants me to tell you, you can. You can make it. You can make it. I remember when I was just a lad, I remember one of my friends had a Bozo bag. And I figured some of you perhaps wouldn't know what a Bozo bag was, so I thought I would help you here today. This is what was interesting. I remember being at my friend's house when he got his Bozo bag for Christmas, and we would take turns hitting the Bozo bag. He would hit it. The Bozo bag would go down, come back up. And then I would hit it, give it my best. But it would go down. It would come back up. Then we decided we were smart. We was gonna wrestle with it. My friend would wrestle it down. It would come back up. Then I would have my turn to wrestle it down. And it would come back up. When I got a little older, I started wondering, how is it that this Bozo bag, how is it that Bozo could take my best lick, go down, but come back up? I wonder, how is it that Bozo could endure me wrestling it to the ground, but it wouldn't stay down? It would always come back up. I wondered. As a lad, I wondered about it. But when I got older, I discovered the reality of Bozo. Is that Bozo, stay with me, Bozo was able to take a lick. Bozo was able to be wrestled down. And it would come back up only because of what was on the inside. Can we have some conversation? It was an inflatable, but because what was on the inside allowed it to go down, come back up. And my brother, my sister today, I don't know who this lesson, this message is for in here today. But I want you to know that you can make it. You can make it because what's on the inside of you. Or rather, should I say, because of who's on the inside of you. You can make it. I want you to know, man of God, woman of God, you've got bounce back in you. I don't know what it is you're going through right now in this season of your life, but this is not the first time you've been through something for most of us. And I want to remind you, just like you made it through the last time, God sent me here on divine assignment to remind you, you can make it through what you're going through. Even right now, because you got bounce back in you. That's what the Holy Spirit really reminded me when I studied this particular pericope of scripture. I want to share with you the context of the text, lift three principles that I don't want you to forget. If you're going to make it, you can make it, you will make it, but there's some things you can't afford to forget. So I want to raise some principles that I want you to remember, but let me give you the context of the text, then I give you the principles, and then the lesson will be over. But my brothers and sisters, after some 130 years, the Jewish nation was getting another chance from the Lord to return back to their homeland and restore the worship of God in the holy city of Jerusalem. So watch this. So it was with great joy, anticipation, and expectation that they were returning to their beloved Jerusalem. And they ran to the temple to lay the foundation of the temple of God. Watch this. I could just imagine how they felt, what they thought after years of captivity, their pain, their suffering under Babylon, then the Persians and Medes. And yes, those were times of torture and trial, problem and pain. But the Lord had preserved them. And now he has released them. Their hearts were filled with excitement. Their souls were filled with rejoicing. On the first day, they made it back to Jerusalem to lay the foundation of the temple. And brothers and sisters, while they were working, guess what else they was doing? They was worshiping. They were excited. They were thankful for what they had been through, but they were more grateful for where the Lord had brought them to. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, whenever you have been through something and the Lord brings you out of it or bring you through it, I want to tell somebody here, you ought not forget not just to work, but you ought not forget to worship. I want to talk to somebody who's had an addiction and the Lord brought you through. Go to work, but you also ought to worship God. You ought to have flashbacks and say, God, I thank you. I may not be all that I ought to be and want to be, but I thank you that I'm better than what I used to be. Whatever God has brought you through, I don't know what your horrific experience was, but don't you forget it. And in this season, God has sent me here to remind you that you ought to worship him. Look at what they do. They're working, laying the foundation of the temple. They're glad to be back, man. They're glad to be back. They're laying the foundation. And watch this. They're working. And they worship it. And in worship, guess what they did? They sang a song. Can I tell you the song they sang? They sang a song. Give it to me, Kevin. Verse 1, 118. Psalm 118. They started singing while they was working. And they was worshiping God. They started singing. They started singing, oh, give thanks to the Lord.
I like that my brothers and sisters, they had thanksgiving in their hearts and on their lips. They were not lamenting about what they've been through because they were so excited that God brought them through. And so they were singing a song of thanksgiving unto God. I wish I had him in here. Watch this. They were singing. They said, thank. This word thanks in the original Hebrew is yada, which means reverence. It means worship with extended hands. It means confessing who God is. Now they working. But they haven't forgotten about God, so they worshiping, and so while they're working with that, while they're working, every now and then they would just lift them old hands. I wish I had some of it here. Somebody ought to have some lifted hands in here about what God's brought you through and what He's brought you to. You ought to, yeah, every now and then you ought to extend your hand and worship to God. But not only that, they started confessing who God is. Because the reason why they would do that is because they knew they didn't bring themselves. They knew that it was nobody but God who brought them out. And they were not ashamed, come on, talk to me, to lift their hands and their voice in order to praise God in worship for what God had done for them. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, watch this, my brothers and sisters. They were thankful. In other words, they were showing gratitude. They were being appreciative and acknowledging and giving credit and praise to God for what God had done for them. You can make it. But there's some stuff you just can't afford to forget. You can't afford to come down with Alzheimer's or dementia. You can't afford to forget. You can't afford to forget. You got to remember, there's some principles in this text, and then I'm done. There are three things, and I'm done. I want to share with you. The first thing, my brothers and sisters, in verse number five. Verse five says, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The first principle I want to share with you, the psalmist says, I was in distress, but who did you call? I'm trying to help somebody here, because I don't know who's in a season of distress right now, but you've been calling a lot of people. But you've been calling some other people who are distressed themselves. But the psalmist reminds us, in during a season of distress, you need to learn to call on the right person. He says, while in my season of distress, I call. And if you look at the text, he's using personal pronoun. It's personal for him. He's suggesting, I don't know who others may call. I feel something in here. But he says, when I'm doing my season of distress, I called on the Lord. All right. So the first thing, I don't want you to forget. Don't forget to pray. He said he called on the Lord. Don't you forget to pray during that season of distress. Now, without a doubt, the psalmist is in distress. Watch this. It's apparent that he is at his wick's end with no other place or no person to turn. But guess what he does? He turns to God. He prays to God. He talks to God. He was in a distressed situation, but he talked to God. And my brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you that when you're in a distressful situation, you don't have to pray long to pray strong. I learned it from the Bible, because you remember when Peter took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink? He didn't try to send the Lord to the hospital, to the prison, and all this other stuff. No, he just simply said, Lord, save me. You don't have to pray long to pray strong. Yeah, you need to. And if my grandmama was here, she would say it like this, just a little talk.
Not a long talk. She said, just a little talk with Jesus. I wish I had one or two in here. I'll make it all right. Yeah, yeah. He said, so don't forget to pray. Now watch this, my brothers and sisters. Distress in Hebrew is mazar. The word distress, mazar. Mazar means to cry. It means to call. It means a loud sound. Loud sound. Yeah, to call, to cry, a loud sound. It's almost like when you're on the verge of having an unavoidable accident. You can't avoid it. And you see it coming. There's nothing you could really do to stop it. But you cry out. God, help me here. Because what you need is you need some divine intervention. You know the accident's going to happen, but you need God to intervene so nobody will get hurt. I wish I had some help in here. Yeah, yes, cry out. Now, but I like how the Message Bible puts it in Psalm 118:5. The Message Bible said, push to a wall. I called to God from the wide open spaces, and he answered. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been pushed? Felt like you just been pushed to a wall. I mean, pushed to a wall, nowhere else to go. Yeah, you know, pushed to a wall when you got bills but don't have money. You know, pushed to a wall. You get an eviction notice with nowhere to go. Yeah, pushed to a wall. I mean, emotionally exhausted. Yeah, just pushed to a wall. Physically sick. Yeah, you just pushed to a wall. Felt like giving up. Just pushed to a wall. But watch this. I thank God for this lesson, because listen to what the psalmist says in the King James translation of verse number 5. He goes on to say, he set me in a large place. Yeah. I've been going through a season of distress. I called on God. What did he do? He set me. He answered me by setting me in a large place. Now, this is what the psalmist doesn't say. Listen, he doesn't say how long it took the Lord to respond. So I want to encourage somebody here who's going through a season of stress. Sometimes you just got to wait on the Lord. Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to take him to show up, but when he show up, he's going to show out. I wish I had help in here. Watch this. So he said, he sets me in a large place. What does the psalmist mean when he said he sets me in a large place in the King James translation? It means a place of abundance. A place of prosperity. A place of opportunity. So in other words, the psalmist says, I'm not going to whine and cry and lament about the distress. That season I went through, it was a real season in my life. But what I thank God for is that I had the capacity and wherewithal to call upon God. And when I did it, God set me in a place of prosperity, a place of opportunity. And I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but as good as God has been to you and as much as God has brought you through, you are to celebrate what God has done and is doing and going to do in your life. Hallelujah. I'm expecting a shift. I'm expecting a turnaround. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm expecting healing. I'm expecting deliverance. I'm expecting God to do something awesome in my life. Glory to God. I feel something in here. Watch this. Let me rush. But watch this, my brothers and sisters. I know if you're anything like me, you've made a mess of your life. Yeah, I made a mess of mine. I made a mess. I ain't as good as you. Pray for me. But watch this. Can I let me hear the rest of my testimony? He took my mess and transformed it to a miracle. If you ain't seen one lately, you ain't seen a miracle lately, you're looking at one now. My life is nothing shorter than a miracle. It's a miracle that I'm even here. What about you? Come on, talk to me. I sense I'm not the only one in here. You are walking, talking, breathing, worshiping miracle yourself.
Verse number six, and I'm just about done. Verse six says, the Lord, watch this, the Lord's on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. The second thing I want you to remember, don't fear. Don't fear. You can make it, but don't fear. Don't fear. It appears to me that the psalmist here is talking to itself. The reason why I suggest that and believe that is look at how many times he uses these personal pronouns. So again, he's talking about mine, I. He ain't talking about nobody else. He says for him, he's not gonna fear. And you got to understand that the enemy always wants to apprehend you, arrest you with fear. Because he knows fear will keep you paralyzed. Yeah, you continue to talk negative when you're fearful. Are you listening to me? And so you got to be careful, my brothers and sisters. And that's why the psalmist says, I will not fear. And I want to just encourage somebody here by reminding you that every now and then you need to talk to yourself. I don't care what people talk about. Say you're crazy when you talk to yourself. Well, I guess I'm just going to be crazy because every now, I have to talk to me sometime. Yeah, I have to tell myself it's going to be all right. It's going to get better. Yeah, I got to tell myself that, the Lord didn't give me the spirit of fear, but a power of love. And I got to talk to myself. I wish I had some help in here. And every now and then, saint of God, you need to talk to yourself. You better learn to encourage your own self. Waiting on somebody to call you with a word. You better get in that word for yourself. Let that word minister to you. Come on, talk to me so you can make it. I wish I had him in it. Oh, yeah. The psalmist is saying, I just want to remind you here today, my brother says, you got to talk to yourself because sometimes, again, this word fear in Hebrew is yare. It means frightened. And it's a natural and normal flesh response to perceived danger. I said the flesh. That's what happened with the flesh. Flesh naturally fears when there's perceived danger. But my brothers and sisters, somebody, I don't know who it is I'm talking to in here today, but somebody here right now, you wrestling with fear. You came to church, but you're struggling with fear. Yeah, you got to be careful, brother. I don't know what you're fearing. Somebody may be fearing the doctor's prognosis. I don't know what you're fearing. You don't know what's going to happen with the job. I don't know what it is you're fearing in here today. But I want you to understand that your faith must outweigh your fear. Yeah, God didn't call you to be fearful. He called you to be fearless. Oh, yeah. That's why the psalmist says, I ain't tripping about what man can do to me. Because his trust, faith, hope, and confidence was in a God who was sovereign and who was in control of his life. Let them give me a pink slip on the job. That job is not my source. It's my resource, but God is my source. Matter of fact, this ain't the first job I had, no way. And the same God that gave me this one, if something happened to this one, he'll give me, I wish I had some believers in here. He'll give me another one. He my source.
I'm done. But listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 27:1. He said, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Who shall I be afraid? He said, the Lord. Yeah, I won't fear because of the Lord. I'm done. But let me give you this third thing, and I'm done. Third thing, in verse number seven, listen to what it says in verse 7. It said, the Lord's on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph to those. I'm going to look at my haters. Up through with triumph. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. Don't forget who's with you. Who's on your side. Don't forget who's with you. Yeah, and that's all I come to tell you today. Don't forget who it is that's on your side. And isn't it amazing how God works? And how God has a knack and a tendency to work through people. Do I have any witnesses in here? I want to remind you that God has raised up people in your life and my life who's been nothing more than mere helpers to us. And I don't know who it is I'm talking to in here today, but I want you to know that where you are, you didn't get there all by yourself. Did y'all hear me? I want you to know that God raised up some people to help you, to encourage you. Yeah, do I have any help in here? And that's all I come by here today to tell you here. Yeah, guilty. You ought to thank God for the people that God used to be a blessing in your life. Do I have any help in here? God has used family and friends to be a blessing to you, and you ought to give God glory for it. Do I have any help here? Isn't it amazing how God can use other people to be a blessing to us? Do I have any help in him? But I want to remind you that it was God. Yes, Lord. When the devil had it out, the devil tried to kill him. Do I have any help here? But I thank God for my helper. I thank God who sits high and looks down low. Do I have any witnesses here? When the devil tried to kill him, when you had the accident, when you got out there on drugs, when you went to prison, the devil thought he had you. Do I have any help in here? But is there anybody here who's glad today that the Lord, who's our helper, and he intervened on our behalf? He canceled out the devil's assignment. And look at you now. You made it by the grace of God. Is there anybody here who thank God for bringing you? Who thank God for keeping you? Who thank God for making a way? Thank God making your enemies leave you alone. Thank God for bringing you all the way. Come on, everybody on your feet. The doors of the church are open. 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 Marcy leads us. If you're here today, my friend, without a church, God sent you to Guilt Edge today. Holy Spirit has confirmed to you that this is the place you need to be. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but walk one of these aisles if you're afraid to walk by yourself. One of your neighbor will walk with you. You just need to be in the ark of safety. You need to know Jesus. You need to be close to Jesus. You need a church home where you can learn more about Jesus. We want to be that family. Won't you come? Won't you come? God bless you, my sister. Won't you come?
When my back was against the wall and it looked as if it was over, oh, you made a way.
Come on.
And
it's room for you.
Here,
we're waiting for you.
Only because
I don't know. Somebody needs to get reconnected.
You
come on. Come on. Come on. We're a growing church for a coming Christ.
When my
come on.
Back was against
come
the
on.
Wall. And it looked as if it was over. Yeah, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. 'Cause you moved mountains, you caused walls to fall. Your power perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible, and we're standing here only because you made a way. You moved mountains.
Won't you come?
You caused walls.
You still have time. Come
with
on.
Your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. Now we're standing here only because you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a
You may be seated. You may be seated.